Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, with my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Our topic tonight is ADHD and post-traumatic stress disorder. With us in our virtual studio is Attention Talk Radio frequent flyer, Dr. Charles Parker. He's one of our favorites to kind of come on these types of subjects. He's absolutely brilliant and always has some really great insights to offer. I want to run down a few announcements real quick. As always, if you haven't heard from our other shows, Attention Talk Video is a sister station to Attention Talk Radio. It's a talk show on YouTube. Just go to attentiontalkvideo.com. And we also have a subscription-based sister station, Attention Talk News. For information on that, go to attentiontalknews.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we will send you email twice a month, chock full of information about video shows, radio shows, guest writers, blogs, etc. As a reminder, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association Conference is coming around this July the 18th through the 21st in Detroit, Michigan. For information on that, go to add.org. Both my co-host and Dr. Parker, who is with us today, will be presenting at that conference. We'll touch base on those topics here in just a second. And it's not too late, never too early to start registering for the CHAD conference, which is this November, the 7th to the 9th. For information on that, go to chad.org. Also, the regional conference that was supposed to be held in May was rescheduled, and I say was rescheduled from May to September, and it's going to be in Dallas. So for information on that, too, go to chadd.org. Let's see. Oh, the last thing is you can catch all the best of Attention Talk Network, which includes the radio, the video, and the news, at our Facebook page at facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio. So with that, Kirsten, how you doing?
I'm great. Happy 4th of July.
It is. Oh, that's right. I forgot that today. This is actually being taped in advance. This is our 4th of July show, if you will. It's actually going to be aired July the 3rd in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we thought this would be a great topic to coincide with the eve of 4th of July. So I guess happy eve of 4th of July is very appropriate. Right, Kirsten?
It absolutely is. I am so excited that we're doing this show. Dr. Parker, I don't know if I told him when we talked to him about doing this show, but we've been trying to do this for over a year now. So I'm so glad that he is on top of this topic and we were able to get him.
And I'm actually glad the brainchild of this show actually is Kirsten. She was like, hey, we need to do this, Jeff. And I got to tell you, this is going to be a great show because this is probably the most naive subject I've ever done a radio show. So I'm anxious to learn both from Kirsten and Dr. Parker. Kirsten, I tell you what, can you just introduce Dr. Parker, kind of go through his bio a little bit so everybody knows a little bit of background, those that aren't familiar with him, and if you're not, you should or will be soon because he's absolutely brilliant. So can you do the intro?
I would be honored to. So Dr. Charles Parker is the medical director of Core Psych, which provides personal and personal consultation and professional training to address the many challenges presented in psychiatry today. He's a prolific writer of books and articles on ADHD and described as the most frequently misunderstood, misdiagnosed, and mistreated psychiatric condition on the planet. His first book, Deep Recovery, which was in 1992, addressed a variety of theoretical and practical difficulties present in a recovery process and has been used for years as a management training guide. His recent book, which I hope you have, Jeff, I certainly have in many forms, is the book ADHD Medication Rules, Paying Attention to the Meds for Paying Attention, and that's a significant contribution to treatment protocols through an improved understanding of ADHD. His special report, Predictable Solutions for ADHD Meds, helps to stop the ADHD medication madness by moving past all the guesswork. And just, you know, a little thing at the beginning is, you know, obviously he can be found at Core Psych, which is C-O-R-E. P-S-Y-C-H, and CorePsychBlog.com. So Dr. Parker, always exciting, fun, and interesting to have an opportunity to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Well, I love talking to you guys. We're all on the same path. I mean, anytime we run into each other in a meeting, there's always a really interesting animated conversation, and I appreciate the fact that you guys are so experienced. I mean, when you bring to, what you bring to the table in terms of your experience and who you've interviewed and what's going on, you're making a tremendous contribution to the ADHD recovering community. I really appreciate being on.
Well, that's a translation. You know, I always learned a long time ago, you just surround yourself with good people to make you look good. So we're really a reflection of you, Dr. Parker. So
yeah.
I'm happy to stand in your shadow and look good. So, that, I mean, truth be told, but when you start with good ingredients, you end up with good material. So we appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Before we get anything, real quick, your topic at the ADA conference is realities change. Actually, why don't you tell everybody what the title is?
Reality Changes the Face of ADHD. And the real simple point there is that what's going on diagnostically and treatment-wise is we're not paying attention to reality. And
mm-hmm.
as pervasive, it's not occasional. It's the standard of care now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to pay attention to reality. I think it's very easy to do it. It's commonsensical. You can't do anything from a common sense point of view if you don't have data. So we're going to introduce some data.
And if you're going to go to Detroit, I encourage you to sit in on this. I can guarantee you'll walk away. It won't be vague. You'll have concrete evidence and some things to do that like you'll never have before. And real quick, a plug for Kirsten. Kirsten, what's your topic on?
I am doing learning executive skills through play, and I'm doing that with Dr. Randy Coleman. So that we're just going to have a tons of fun. He's big on digital play, and I'm just big on all kinds of play. So we're going to be talking about how you can practically use different forms of play to be working on some of your ADHD challenges.
Well, that's awesome. And I know one of the things that you and I have been talking about is actually having you on for me to interview directly on play. You know, I love the Dr. Barkley model and the thinking tools, and he talks about, you know, play as a part of childhood being really important, externally manipulating information. And I think the notion of being able to play around kind of indirectly kind of works right back into that science model. So that's something hopefully we're going to do here in the near future. So, but we got a lot of fish to fry. We got a big topic tonight. So I guess let's get into stuff. And Dr. Parker, again, I'm the ignorant one here. So we got to start at the beginning. Can you explain exactly what PTSD is first, so I can get kind of grounded and we kind of start working our way up from there?
Well, let's pull it into the very much larger picture, and that is PTSD is very similar to ADHD in a certain way. I mean, sometimes it's very hard to recognize, very hard to see what's going on. And then it kind of has a life of its own. If you don't really put your arms around it, if you don't really see what's going on, it's very hard to deal with because people can be having PTSD experiences throughout their lifetime. And it can really encumber their lives, and it can significantly stand in the way of good ADHD recovery. The two conditions can significantly deteriorate each other. It's sort of like depression and anxiety are the two ones that we've talked about a great deal, but PTSD is another more or less quiescent background problem that can just corrupt executive function, and you think you've got the right meds, you've got this done, and everything's done correctly, but by the way, PTSD is biting at your heels on a regular basis, and your executive function goes out the window.
So I'm looking at the label, post-traumatic stress disorder. So is there something that actually happens to the brain that changes it, or is it because I'm hearing it's after a trauma that you get this thing. So is it like
well,
a
it's
brain?
Funny. I'm sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead.
The deal is that, you know, it's funny because a lot of people who are in neuroscience are putting forward the idea that the brain has actually changed. And then there are others that say the brain isn't actually itself changed, but what happens is there are certain patterns that are laid down. So, you know, I don't think anybody could come in and say it's definitely changed, but what we see is that if you take a more biologically oriented view in terms
mm-hmm.
of what you're doing with the recovery process, that you're much more likely to catch the interface between the PTSD and ADHD if it exists, or if you're just treating PTSD by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say
happens,
biological interchange, though, can you explain
yeah.
what that means?
Yeah. Well, what happens is your neurotransmitters, if you have a problem with PTSD, there are a number of different modalities of treatments that are actually brain-based treatments, like
mm-hmm.
EMDR, for example. EMDR is a treatment that was developed by a person, psychologist.
Dean Shapiro.
Francine Shapiro. And really what she did is she recognized that there was a certain balance that had to take place in the brain, and without using drugs, without using any specific other intervention process, she actually developed this EMDR, which is an eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it sounds completely flaky. I mean, it's interesting because the further we go along in the science, these new ideas seem so out of the box, but they're so completely useful.
Can I tell you, Dr. Parker, that I'm level 2 and advanced trained in EMDR?
Oh, you are. Great. Well, you know,
everybody looks at me and says, that sounds flaky. How the heck does moving your eyes or drawing your attention back and forth, right to left, have anything to do with recovering from PTSD? It's bizarre. But, yeah.
It's totally amazing. Well, in my practice down here in Virginia Beach, we have the only certified trainer in Virginia. So
wow.
We're training people on a regular basis. And I would say in our practice, we have, count them, I can't remember, it's 5 or 6 people who are trained in EMDR.
Wow.
So we do a lot of it because we see that if it's there and we can identify it, that it really significantly facilitates recovery from, person doesn't have to be on meds, doesn't have to have ADD, but certainly if they have some of these other issues going on, getting that brain synchronized and releasing those issues from the really implicit memory.
Yeah. Do you, really just in the brain, though, when you said biological, I thought maybe my assumption might be that it's actually the whole body, because I know that that's part of what you pay attention to in ADHD, is that you're really working with a whole system, not just your brain.
Well, that is true. I mean, what happens is this is where we get over into sort of my perspective is a comprehensive perspective, because we see people that have been traumatized because we're in a military town here in Virginia Beach, and we have SEALs. In fact, I just did an evaluation recently on a son, and introduced myself to the father, and I said, "Dad, by the way, what do you do?" He said, "I'm on SEAL Team 4." You know, so we have the people in this town who are military individuals who've been to the front, and we see them frequently. And so PTSD is something we're very familiar with from the war perspective, but we've been familiar with it even if war is not the issue. We've seen a number of kids that have been traumatized in childhood, sexual abuse, and a variety of different problems that have occurred, that if they don't get identified and addressed, they don't get resolved, and they just grind slowly away over life, in spite of the fact that everybody's doing good care, trying to do the good medicine, doing good therapy, looking at family dynamics, but grinding away in the background is that implicit memory that we need to get up and make it explicit so the person can then adapt to the change and really understand it, find a box to put it in, as opposed to having it be down there out of reach.
All right, everybody, I got to call time. I got 2 rocket scientists, and we got to dumb this down. This interview is only going to be good as the weakest link, and that's me. So I apologize, everybody, but I got to keep up. I got this one thing that I need to understand. And when I think of PTSD, when I think of post-traumatic stress disorder, I think of an event like whammo, like an accident, and all of a sudden it's there. Now, I think of an accident or maybe, you know, stress over a period of time, but I think my basic question is, I mean, is it something that you're born with, or is it something that occurs like an accident, like all, when I say all of a sudden, it could be all of a sudden, or over a short duration? Which is it? Because I just need a context for myself to understand. Are you born with it, or is it something that happens?
Well, actually, you know, what happens with the situation is that it's all the above. I mean, the more recent studies are showing that it could have something to do with inherited hippocampal volume, you know, which is a subsection of the brain that actually is designed to help sort reality. And what happens is, and this whole thing is so tied up with executive function, because if you don't get that past thing squared away in the context of your real life. And this is really where it ties in with, we're not going to be talking about PTSD at the meeting in Detroit, but it's really the same thing because, again, they're not dealing with reality in a way that's constructive. So the reality that they've experienced, whoever it is, it could be a one event, it could be a series of events, has actually reprogrammed the brain in a certain way. And then what happens is they have automatic reactions. So a simple way to think about it for people who are completely uninitiated is if you have a motor vehicle accident and you're in the motor vehicle accident, whatever, 6 o'clock in the evening on a street corner and you're traumatized, you go to the hospital, it's a one event. Well, down the road, you may go by that corner numerous times and not really feel much at all, but if you go by there at a specific time that's similar to the time and the reality of the circumstance comes up and grabs you, what it's done is it's pulled out that memory that's been shoved down deep in below, and it comes up, but you don't even have, some people don't even have an awareness of the fact that it's related to the automobile accident. They just have, it's derivatively associated to the automobile accident, but they don't have to get the connection. So
got
when
it.
They
so,
don't get the connection, then it's not able to be managed, and that's what this whole thing with implicit and adaptive memory. They can't adapt to it because they actually have never adapted to it.
Okay, so and I need to run to a break here in a second, but let me see if I can synthesize this, at least from my own little pea brain, and that is I'm hearing you say it's an executive functioning issue. And I've learned that ADD is an executive function issue, but what happens is there's an event or a series of events, and maybe your brain wiring maybe lends yourself to be more vulnerable to this or not, but this event that you're in, and forgive me, that you're paying attention to, actually kind of reprograms your brain as a result of that. And one of the things that I've learned from this show is that's budding is that if you pay attention to things differently over a period of time, it actually physically changes your brain. So I can see how something traumatic like that might rewire your brain or reprogram it a little bit as a result of it. So am I off base here, Dr. Parker? I mean,
summary? This is one of these interesting opportunities to bring Kirsten into it too, because Kirsten's very familiar with all this. I mean, what you just said, the short answer is yes, you're right on it. I think you did a good job of explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what happens is it isn't just a single thing. That's
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons it's good to have a conversation with your audience about this, because
mm-hmm.
it isn't just like, okay, that's what that is. It's sort of like ADHD. ADHD isn't a single thing. There are comprehensive issues that are going on with executive function that can express themselves in a number of different ways and in the context of different realities. And that's really what's going on with PTSD as well. So you have to really customize the job for every single person that's being treated. There's no sort of Band-Aid PTSD thing. Okay, we're going to give them PTSD medication. You can't do that. You've got to get down to the event and really processing it, understanding it, and reprocessing it. Would you agree with that, Kirsten?
Right. Well, one thing I was thinking, too, is, you know, ADHD is multifaceted, and you know that just in coaching or in therapy, for that matter, which, you know, I don't believe in as much, but whatever, you go in at all different levels, in different directions. How do you learn? You know, what are your beliefs? You know, how do you experience that? And when you're doing work with PTSD, especially work like EMDR or tapping, you're also going in and you're talking about what are your beliefs, what do you see, what's the emotion, how do you feel it in your body. And
mm-hmm.
so you're working on it at all different levels. And oftentimes what you find is, while you think it's attached to one event, you'll find that there are actually paths that lead back to other things that maybe wouldn't have caused the PTSD symptoms on their own, but they got brought up as a result of another event. And now you've got kind of this network that needs to be what you might call cleared out. And that's part of the work that I know Dr. Parker's people are doing and a lot of other people who are working with PTSD.
Wow.
Clients.
All right.
Yeah.
So I think I've caught up to you guys, all right? I'm not, you know, you guys can accelerate, but let's take a break so I can process this a little bit during a commercial break, and we'll come back. And I have a few things I want to kind of jump into. This is going to be a two-part commercial break. because we just got a commercial in. This is kind of exciting. Attention Magazine is actually going online in a book-like format. So we're going to run to some commercials. It'll be kind of a little different than normal, but we'll do that, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, CHAD and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Parker and my trusted sidekick, Kirsten Milliken, and I'm getting a crash course in PTSD. As it relates to ADHD. Now, one of the things that is enlightening me at this point is that as an executive functioning thing, it seems to me that I can see how you can a person can have ADD, and all of a sudden maybe they have some trauma in their life, and all of a sudden it gets exacerbated. It's kind of like a double whammy, and can maybe draw out, maybe they were a high-functioning ADDer before, but now it kind of comes out, or kind of vice versa. I want to ask you guys to comment on that, and I'm about ready to let you guys run because I know there's a lot of fun stuff that you guys want to talk about. But they're not PTSD and ADHD are not the same thing, but they can really have a big impact on each other and make each one worse. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I mean the thing that where they really interface to just talk about brain function for a minute without getting too deep. You know, having done brain imaging since 2003. You know, that brain imaging really changed my life as a medical professional, because when you actually see the brain function and you talk to the human being that's carrying that brain, it changes the way you think about these things. You don't just think about it as what medication is going to work best. You really start thinking about what area of the brain is troubled and how is it troubled and how is it connected with other parts of the brain. And one of the things about PTSD is the literature shows that it's directly, it's a problem directly associated with the deeper structures of the brain and the ventromedial prefrontal cortex. So you can really see specific compromise in the ventromedial prefrontal cortex. So the prefrontal cortex is compromised, which is what we see with ADHD anyway. And what happens is these impulses coming up from the memory, from the amygdala, from the deeper centers of the brain, are unable to be dampened down by a healthy, well-functioning prefrontal cortex. If you think about it with ADHD itself, forgetting PTSD for just a moment, what really happens when a person gets better is through whatever practice of recovery they have, through whatever meds they have, whatever's going on, it's helping that prefrontal cortex so that a person can become more organized, and things that are coming up from below, stimulation, memories, distractions, they get organized so that a person can actually conduct themselves in the sequence of where the time is. They can actually remain and live in the reality that they're living in effectively, as opposed to being maladaptive. So that prefrontal cortex, if it's working right, handles these impulses that are coming up. Same thing with PTSD. However, the PTSD impulses frequently are so completely separated from the conscious mind, you don't even know where they're coming from. And that's what really gets to be a problem, is a person can have be overwhelmed and they have no idea why they're being overwhelmed. And if a person has attention deficit and has had a traumatic injury, it is more likely, my experience clinically, and I can't quote you any literature on this, but I've seen it happen numerous times. People, once they get their ADHD taken care of, that could pre-exist the traumatic experience, they are much better able to recover from the PTSD if they have a comorbid ascension. If they have an associated ADD, they get the ADD treated, it quiets it down, the PTSD turns around much more easily, in my experience.
So, Dr. Parker, can I ask you a question? You know, I work at the Veterans Administration, both in Maine and down in Boston, and, you know, there's hardly a day that goes by when I don't see somebody who has been diagnosed with ADHD and also has PTSD. And what I often hear from these guys and men and women is they go over there and they adapt. They're over there for 4 months, you know, 12 months or more, and they're under a high level of stress, and they're always, you always have to be prepared because, you know, depending on where you are, there's anything could be happening at any time, and oftentimes it's happening all the time. And they come back to the States, and there's no longer the need to have that high level of adrenaline, awareness, alertness to what's going on, and preparation. And they have all of them, whether they have ADHD or not, tend to have, you know, some issues with reintegration. But when they have ADHD, it's like they felt focused. They actually will describe feeling good. A lot of them will say, I want to go back there because it's where I feel like I belong. Everything made sense. And I come back here and I can't deal with the fact that there's nothing going on.
Yeah, well, one of the problems, pardon me for interrupting. I don't know if there's a moment.
No, that's it.
The issue is the stimulation in war is life and death. So the external reality is going to be the structure of a person's life. You know, how do you stay alive is going to get your attention. And that structure of staying alive, and what happens, even in a war zone, there are certain variables that are become more and more predictable the more you practice war. It's like being an executive. Many executives, I have a section in my book called Those Wrecked by Success, many executives are promoted into a different reality and can't handle it for a long time. And it's one of the ways we can really discover that they've actually been dealing with attention deficit for a long period of time, because they can't make that adjustment to that different reality. Why? Because it's more unpredictable and they don't have a clear focus what they're doing in that new reality. So they go back and become a line officer and just do the work and put the tires on the car because they can't think about management issues, which are more complex. And that same thing happens, and I don't mean to trivialize the whole situation of returning from war, but there is a metaphoric parallel when we're talking about this, because a person goes from one reality to another reality, and a life and death reality of war and the predictability of the military, which is very reassuringly predictable, even though it's got measures of unpredictability associated with it. The military is really very predictable. We see a number of people who have significant ADHD problems who do very well in the military and completely fall apart when they leave the military and retire. We've seen it repeatedly. Because they go in from one structure that's a predictable structure and a known reality into an unknown reality. That's one of the points that I'm making, is reality is an issue that we need to pay attention to if we're going to make the diagnosis. Context is exceedingly important. It isn't a 24/7 diagnosis. It's a diagnosis. ADHD is the diagnosis that occurs in a certain context, as does PTSD. There's a very clear parallel there. Both of them occur in certain contexts.
Do you feel like, though, there's any connection there between, like, the chemical reaction that's causing them to be in that heightened state of arousal for such prolonged periods of time, and then the removal of that when they come back that almost exacerbates the ADHD?
Yeah, the short answer on that's absolutely. And I wish I could give you chapter and verse on that. I don't have the papers in my mind, but we've seen it repeatedly because they come back, first of all, from a pure dopamine point of view. If they have any kind of an ADD problem in the first place, their neurotransmitters in the prefrontal cortex are going to be somewhat compromised. Mm-hmm. But the additional thing, when you're stressed and you have your whole HPA, hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis is burned out. There are papers on that that show that when that whole pathway becomes burned out, that feeds the inability to handle the quiet reality. Because what happens is the dampening effect is no longer as operationally effective as it was in the war zone, because they've ultimately burned themselves out. And that's what we see with, quote-unquote, battle fatigue. What is it? What is fatigue? Well, they can't even function. They can't roll out of bed in the morning. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because their whole HPA axis has just been hit by the bus so many times. And as a result of that, the ADD is mushrooms into a more significant situation, and the PTSD comes up from the deeper structures of the brain, and the person feels totally compromised.
I can't tell you how many times I had a conversation with a vet that led to many more conversations, where he said, you know, he had a young son, and he found that even though his son really hadn't done anything, he was picking fights with his son. And I asked him, he had ADHD and PTSD, and I said, you know, what's it like really in that moment when you're picking a fight? And he says, kind of exciting. And we had a conversation, and I'm doing pension evaluation, so, you know, if my boss hears that, they're going to have a heart attack, but whatever. And we talked about it, and he said, yeah, he said, I love getting that rush. And it made him feel that focus and that organization,
yeah.
And he started thinking about all the other things that he was doing to kind of agitate himself in the situation to get back.
Excellent
that.
Point.
Yeah.
Excellent. Because what's going on is they're running on a deficiency of adrenal HPA axis effectiveness. So when they get the juice going, things work for a minute or for whatever, for a period of time. And it's reassuring to have the energy, to have the focus, to have your mind. Your mind's going to work a little bit better, because ordinarily in the other circumstance, without the structure, without something to focus on, without an awareness of what's going on, that PTSD material is just nibbling away, and it can go from overwhelming and completely devastating to being nibbled to death by ducks. You know, just
quite an image.
So in your practice,
you know, I know what I do, but I don't prescribe medication, and I don't deal with all the physiological stuff per se. How do you help? What treatment is your practice doing with people who have ADHD and PTSD to address all of this? You know, the need for to feel that way and
well, as we say in Philadelphia, we deal with the whole mishpucha.
Good word.
We're going to go in there and do every single piece of to deal with the complexity that we can, based on what the circumstances are. We're going to do the EMDR. We don't usually mix EMDR with neurofeedback. We might do a period of EMDR, and if they hit a wall, maybe do some neurofeedback. We'll do the meds. We'll get the meds so we can get that prefrontal cortex working. And we may do cognitive behavioral therapy regarding, well, here's your relationship. What are alternative ways of handling it as opposed to freaking out? I mean, what would you do with your son if you had another option and your correct brain was working? What would you do? And so you can do cognitive behavioral therapy, bringing the family together, getting a structure, putting the structure in the family that doesn't
exist.
There's that exist.
Coaching too, right?
Well, actually, that's what I was talking about. It's funny. It just came to mind just when I was saying, I'm talking about coaching, and then you said it.
I knew you
it's
were.
It's funny. Yeah. So, but that is what it is, because that's what coaches do such a good job. I think coaches, really, as a group of people, even though they've been kind of over, you know, it's sort of like a quote-unquote non-professional whatever, I think coaches are going to, as a group of people, are going to significantly change, as a group, the way ADHD treatment takes place, the way medication is managed, the way people work their way through this. I think coaches are absolutely integral to the whole medical team. And I'm a very strong proponent of having coaches be part of the medical team, which is what we do in our practice.
Tell you what, we need to run to a break real quick. Come back and we'll pick the conversation up, but real quick before we go, for anybody who wants to learn a little bit more about Dr. Parker, go to his website, corepsychblog.com, corepsychblog.com. And Dr. Parker, you've got another website, drcharlesparker.com?
Yeah, that's kind of my calling card site, and then I've also got Core Brain, where we teach coaches exactly what we're talking about. Because we think at corebrain.org, we think that coaches and other medical professionals need to work more constructively together, as opposed to the meds are over here, the counselors are over here, and people at home don't know what's going on, and nobody explains anything, which is pervasive. It's pretty much a standard of care.
Well, you know we're a fan of that. So anyway, we'll run to a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. And if you don't mind, Dr. Parker, I've got just a few probably ignorant questions that I think can help me clear up that I also think what might be a benefit to our listeners out there. Trauma. We've talked about military. But there's also trauma that can take roots. Result as like sexual abuse or other types of situations, right?
Yes.
In a situation where, let's imagine we've got a parent with like two ADHD children that are very, very hyperactive, and it's constant 24/7. And they're a loving parent, and they're trying to do some stuff, but they're running around trying to keep the kids engaged, trying to take care of themselves, you know, juggling all the things that need to be done. Over a period of time, can that result in a PTSD like a military situation if long enough and intense enough?
You know, the short answer is I certainly believe so. I don't have a case that comes to mind right off the top. But here's what happens. While you were laying that out, I was starting to think about it. And they're traumatized. The parents are traumatized. They love their kids, and they're getting traumatized on the failures that are taking place on a regular basis. And so, yes, that's going to be upsetting to a parent. It's going to wear on them. It's going to have – we see it with kids, that the kids actually have an adrenal malfunction over being stressed out for years of not being treated. We see kids that are near the end of their senior year of high school are completely devastated because they've had – the entire academic experience has been corrupted. They're bright as they can be, but they haven't been able to do anything. And the combination of the illnesses that they have, the HPA axis, the trauma that they've suffered – the energy is out the window. They haven't been treated because the parents have been feeling that medication is not indicated. This goes on all the time because the public is more often, too often, it's not more often than not. I mean, I think people are more awake and aware than they have been in the past, but it's way too often that the public is taking a position, hey, this whole thing is nonsense. It's all made up. And then down the road, sometimes it doesn't happen to the child comes in for treatment until they're 22, when they had all those years they could have been productively moving ahead, because the denial regarding ADHD treatment strategies and how to use the medications is so pervasive in the public. The public is so dissatisfied with what's going on, they're going to protect their child from quote-unquote, this isn't my opinion, obviously, but they're going to protect themselves from medical people who don't know what they're doing. I mean, that is a strong public sentiment, and children are suffering with that, and they do burn themselves up in that context. They're traumatized. The parents themselves are traumatized.
Fascinating. And I, before this, you sent some things over, and if I'm not mistaken, there are certain things in the brain that if you have, I forget the brain part, a smaller one or normal one, you could maybe...
Hippocampus. You can actually genetically... The PTSD is much more likely to be revealed in an individual that has a smaller hippocampus. You know, so there's the amygdala, which is, you know, the you know, where you store these memories and so on. You got the hippocampus, and then you've got the prefrontal cortex is it's hooking up with cingulate gyrus. I'm thinking about all these things together at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They all relate to each other, but that hippocampal size is going to make a difference, as does that whole thing with that ventromedial prefrontal cortex. If that ventromedial prefrontal cortex is not operational in the first place, that dampening effect is not going to take place when the amygdala is communicating with it. And what's going to happen is then that's where you're going to need the EMDR and try to get that that locked down intrinsic memory into a more adaptive state so the person can move forward.
I gotta tell you, Dr. Parker, I can't tell you how much I'm glad you came on the show and how you're putting this, because I'm starting to get my arms around this a little bit. And I'll say, I'm on the Attention Magazine editorial board, and the topic of this came up about doing an article, and a lot of people were chiming in. Again, it was even more over my head back then. I'm starting to realize the complexities and the variables that are here, and how, I mean, this is kind of like Jell-O. And you put your fork in it, you know, you almost don't hit anything for a period of time, yet you're talking about biology and some stuff that's there, so we know that there's a piece of this, but we're still trying to get, you know, trying to totally understand it and get our arms around it. It just seems to me infinitely complex. However, the one thing that I've really gotten out of this, it's an executive functioning issue, and as I've learned, ADD is an executive functioning issue, so I can now see how the two of them at the same time can wreak havoc, real havoc. Kirsten, any comments?
Yeah, they can wreak havoc. I mean, seeing it, you know, with vets coming into my office or spouses coming into my office, hearing how much they're struggling. And, you know, one topic we didn't touch on, actually, that if you don't mind me redirecting for a moment.
Sure. Yeah, please.
I had a question, Dr. Parker, about, you know, sometimes we see vets who may not have been diagnosed with ADHD and may not have met criteria for ADHD, and maybe they just don't have it, and they come back with PTSD. And I've been hearing tell of some medical providers who are treating the PTSD with stimulant medications, and the ones that I've, the vets that I've talked to have had good effects from it. Do you have any information about that? Is it being researched?
I don't have any information, but I can tell you where I'm coming from personally with it. The current diagnostic code book is so completely inadequate regarding ADHD that what's happening is these intuitive professionals are looking at these human beings and saying there's an executive function problem. It's common sense to treat the executive function problem, but they don't meet criteria for ADHD. And that happens all day, every day in my office. We see a lot of people that have very significant compromised executive function problems in that they are impulsive at times but not hyperactive. They think without acting. And they avoid all over the place because they can't deal with reality because they're thinking too much. And they have severe limiting executive function problems that are floating in the iceberg beneath the surface that can't be seen. And if you just look at the tip of the iceberg, which is the appearance of ADD, it isn't there. But if you dive under and look at the floating iceberg, they're loaded with executive function problems. And somehow these intuitive docs are figuring this out. And yes, stimulant medications help executive function problems. But they're not identified as ADHD because they're not hyperactive and officially inattentive.
Wow. Wonderful.
That is what's going on.
So, I mean, Jeff, one of the things
that
I wanted to get out of the show is to make sure that, you know, anybody with PTSD, but, you know, I'm just working with the vets all day long. These men and women have volunteered for our country and have been put into situations which, in my opinion, there is no amount of training that their brains can be prepared to manage, to handle, to understand, and to deal with. And there are people like Dr. Parker, and I know that there are other people throughout the country who are paying attention to this, who are paying attention to PTSD. They're paying attention also to other things like ADHD, and they are providing comprehensive treatment that can be really effective. And they're making themselves aware of what all the different ways are to manage this. So I just think it's so important because we want these men and women to be back and healthy and leading good lives and enjoying their families. And yeah. So,
well,
Dr. Berger, thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys recognizing this as an issue and bringing up the conversation because, Jeff, just as you were saying, the more we talk about it, we use some of the language, then it becomes comprehensible. If you don't know the language, you don't know what's going on, then it's always a big mystery. But when you start thinking about, you know, memory being locked down and then adapting it so you can actually work with it and the prefrontal cortex working with it so that you can get boxes to put it in, it all starts to make sense. It's just a question of then looking at the variables and taking each variable as they come up so you can actually help the person out as opposed to saying it's over my head.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Parker, any last comments? I mean, is there any little nugget that we missed or don't want to open up Pandora's box just for amount of time, but any last thoughts that you need to share?
No, I think the thing that I would bring to the table, I'm a traditional psychiatrist, you know, so I'm pro-medicine. Mm-hmm. I think what we need to do is use medication much more carefully in individuals who've had PTSD experiences. Because very frequently, even though they can be strapping guys, they can be SEAL Team 6 or whatever, they can't deal with the medication, and we have to pay attention to the metabolic variables of everybody that comes in the office. And just throwing medication at people is outdated, passe, and needs to be changed.
Touche. I love what you said. We need to be more careful with it. And I know that you are personally running around educating people on that need, and I know you'll be talking a lot about that in Detroit. So, Dr. Parker, thank you so much for coming on the show. Our
Thanks,
listeners,
guys,
again,
for having me.
CorePsych.com, CorePsychBlog.com, DrCharlesParker.com. Google it. Go to Amazon. Get his books. It's all out there. He's a great guy. Also, you know, if you also, on other topics, particularly meds, go check out the interviews we've done with them on Attention Talk Video and also some of our archives on Attention Talk Radio. And so with that, Dr. Parker, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Kristen. Appreciate it.
Kirsten, always a pleasure to have you on. great contribution.
Yeah, it's always great to be on. Happy 4th of July.
Absolutely.
See you in Detroit, guys.
Take care.
Bye now.